Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing to you, our rock and our redeemer. In the name of Jesus, amen. So I had this whole sermon planned out for this week, you know, and I planned my sermons out several weeks in advance. And all week, the Holy Spirit has been nagging on me. And I don't know if you've ever experienced that, but nag, 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 nag. I want you to do something different. And I didn't know what it was, so we're just going to go through this today, and we're going to see what it is, okay? But I do know this. This is kind of a heart-to-heart message, okay? And I know this. The message today will probably make some of you uncomfortable, but don't be mad at me. Be mad at the Holy Spirit if it does, because he's the one who told me to preach it, okay? So if it makes you uncomfortable, I would suggest pray about why it makes you uncomfortable, because my job is not to make you comfortable, and it's to preach the Word of God to you. So let's dig into this and see where it goes. All right, here we go. So last week we talked about this power of the resurrection, this power that comes forth from the tomb and sweeps into the world and changes hearts and lives for Jesus, right? We call it the transformation power. And we as Lutherans, if we look at it a little more in depth, we would call this transformation, because we are Lutheran and because we are wise and because we are learned, we would call it justification and sanctification. That's the transformation. Does anybody know what justification means by any chance? Anybody? What is it? See, these are my women's Bible study ladies. Okay? Do you see how good they are? They get A pluses. That's right. That's right. It's to be made just, to be made right, to be made right and not guilty in the eyes of God. It's a legal term that your sins have been forgiven and that you are free of any guilt and shame, and that Jesus has done that for you, right? Right, good job. Sanctification, to be made holy. And it's not to just to be made holy, it's the process of being made holy, because it begins when we are justified. When are we justified? The moment we come to faith, okay? And we'll talk about that in a minute. So the moment we come to faith, we are justified. We are made right. We are made clean. We are made forgiven. And this process of sanctification begins, the process of becoming holy or becoming set apart for God, right? Being like God is, being set apart for his purposes. By the way, when does that process end? Because at death we are made perfect. You guys are doing so good. All right. Yeah, round of applause for you. Good job. Good job. They listen, don't they? Yeah, they do. They do. I'm really proud of them. Now, we've covered it 100 times, but that's okay. So here's this process of sanctification, the process of becoming holy, the process of becoming set apart. Now, we believe that the process of sanctification begins at justification the moment we come to faith. As Lutheran, we believe there are two conversions. Those conversions is the moment we come to faith. We call that a conversion, all right? The first conversion happens right back there. Well, usually right up here. Baptism, right? And usually that's for infants or small children. And they are brought to faith the moment they are baptized. Justification happens, occurs, is a one-time deal, and then sanctification begins this process as the Holy Spirit works on their hearts for all eternity until, well, they die and then they're in heaven. For adults, we believe that the conversion happens when they hear the Word. They hear the Word and the Holy Spirit brings them to faith in Jesus Christ. The process of sanctification begins, and the first thing they're led to is what? Baptism, because Christ was baptized and they still need to be baptized to wash away their sins and to deal with original sin and actual sin, right? And then sanctification continues to happen. So that's important for us to know, and that's what we call this power we talked about last week. As Lutherans, we would call that power that comes forth from that empty tomb justification and sanctification, and it occurs either as an adult through the Word or for an infant through the baptism, okay? We got that down pat? Now here's the reality of it. It happened today in our lesson from Acts. It was beautiful. Peter preaches the gospel. Beautifully he preaches the gospel. And what happens? Instantly. People come to faith. Adults hear the Word. They respond. They come to faith. They're baptized. They bring their children too, because all of them, including their families, were baptized, right? 3,000 people were added to the number of the church that day when Peter preached the gospel that Jesus has risen from the dead, the power of transformation, right? They came to faith in Christ and knew they were going to go to heaven and live eternally. And the church grew, right? those disciples walking down that road to Emmaus, you know? And, you know, it's almost like they had lost their faith. It really was, right? I mean, you kind of get that feeling. They lost their faith. Oh, my gosh, I can't believe what happened. This Jesus, we thought he was the Savior. We thought he was going to redeem Israel. And we thought he was going to do this. And now he's dead. And now the body's missing. What are we going to do? Oh, my goodness, woe is me. And what happens? This stranger, don't you love it? You see, the stranger shows up and begins to talk with them and ask questions and interact with them and all of a sudden shares the word of God with them, right? Shares scripture with them and then takes them to the table and does what? What does he do? He breaks the bread as he did with the first Holy Communion and their eyes are open and they realize who is the stranger? Jesus! And he disappears from them. They say, were not our hearts burning within us? Led by faith at nighttime, which is not a safe time to travel in that area those days, and also for fear that the Jews would get them, they ran all the way back to the other disciples to tell them that Jesus had risen from the dead and that they'd seen him in the breaking of the bread in the Holy Supper. They had seen him. He was alive. And guess what happened because of that? The church grew. Let's face it, right? If it weren't for the disciples and the apostles, where would the church be? Nowhere. Now that leads to us. It leads to us. We're justified, right? Are you baptized? Do you believe in Jesus? We know we're forgiven. Does anybody here not know they're forgiven? Don't raise your hand. Talk to me later. Because you're forgiven. Your sins are gone. They're removed as far as the east is from the west, okay? You have eternal life. The power of the resurrection lives within you. You are going to heaven. Yeah, that's good news. Yahoo! Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
Okay, that's good news. Justification has happened. Now sanctification is working on you. Do any of you ever get feelings of like, oh, I did the wrong thing? Like guilt? Anybody? Anybody? That's called sanctification. That's a process of sanctification. Do any of you ever feel like I need to be doing this, but I'm not? I need to be doing this, but I'm not? Anybody? Ever? Ever? Yep, yep. How about your conscience? Does your conscience ever talk to you? Anybody? Your conscience? Ooh, boy, you all have been sanctified. Sanctified, as they say in some of our other churches in the South. You have been sanctified. But here's the reality. What happens today in Christianity and what scares me to death is that Christians think once they're justified and once they're sanctified, they're done. We can go to church on Sunday and we're okay. And Lutherans for a long time have been accused of being believers in just that. We're saved by grace through faith. We don't have to do anything. Well, the reality is we don't have to do anything to be saved. But if we are truly sanctified and being sanctified, here's the reality, and we'll get to this in St. Peter in a minute. God says in Ephesians 2:10 that you are my handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do the good works that I have prepared in advance for you to do. Jesus says, I'm the vine, you are the branches. When you hang out in me, you will produce what? Good fruit. My question is, and this goes for me too, if we're going to church on Sundays and hanging around in the faith, there's a benchmark we need to meet. Am I producing good fruit? Am I producing good fruit? Am I doing the good works that Christ prepared in advance for me to do? So let's go back to those disciples walking down the road for a minute. They said that as the gospel was opened up to them, their hearts burned within them. And I hope that on Sundays when you're here, your heart burns within you. I hope that's the case. Not because of me, but because of the Holy Spirit. Not heartburn. I'm not talking about heartburn. I'm talking about excitement, passion. And I really hope that when we take the Lord's Supper, and I really wish, I'm going to say this, I really wish we had this every Sunday because I need it every Sunday. I don't know about you, but I'm a big old fat sinner and getting fatter by the moment. And that's because you guys are such good cooks. I need that every Sunday. I can't get it enough, right? Okay? My heart burns when I take the Lord's Supper. I hope yours does too, because you're receiving the risen Christ. He has broken the bread for you, and you get to see Jesus in his real presence. How awesome is that? As he comes to you in bread and wine, right? So I hope your heart burns within you. But then we leave and we go home, and our hearts don't burn within us. Brothers and sisters, one of the things I have to encourage you, and I must exhort you, is you've got to spend time in God's word when you're away from church. Even if it's just the portals of prayer that you're using that takes 5 minutes to read, we have to spend time in the Word because our hearts need to constantly burn within us. Why? Because Satan is out there attacking us. Satan is out there attacking the church. Satan is attacking people who don't know him. And the more he attacks us, the more he attacks the church, the greater his kingdom grows. And the reality is, when we spend time in God's word, his kingdom decreases because he becomes afraid of us, because we are dangerous to him, because our hearts burn within us. In prayer, in devotion, we've got to be in that word, and I encourage you to do it. I tell people all the time, oh, pastor, I don't have time to do a devotion. I don't have time to read my Bible. Make time. If you like to read on the toilet, put your Bible next to the toilet. God already knows what you're doing in the bathroom. It's not sacrilegious to read it there, if that's what you've got to do. Now, I want to look at Peter just for a moment. I think this is important for us in talking about what we're talking about, the sanctification, okay? I have to take my glasses off to read. I think I'm getting old. So 1 Peter, beginning at verse 22, our lesson for today. Here's what it says. Now that you have been purified yourselves by obeying the truth so that you have sincere love. Purified yourself, we're talking about justification, okay? You've been purified. Your sins are gone in Jesus, in God's eyes, your sins are gone, okay? So that you now have sincere love for each other. Love each other, one another deeply from the heart. It starts here in our congregation first, right? If you have a grudge against somebody, or if somebody here has offended you, go talk to them and make sure you love them. Because if you don't do it here, you can't do it elsewhere. But what Peter is talking about is not just us. Not just us. He's talking about loving everybody around us. He's talking about loving our coworkers. He's talking about loving our fellow students. He's talking about loving our neighbors. He's talking about loving our children. And I know parents, some of you, it's hard to love your children sometimes probably, or like them at least. He's talking about loving the unbeliever, the person that you see walking down the street that doesn't know Jesus. You see, when our hearts burn within us, when the gospel transformation, when the power of the resurrection is alive within us, we want to tell everyone that Jesus has risen from the dead. We want people to know that their sins can be forgiven and that they can have eternal life in heaven just like us. We want them to know. It cannot be stopped, because if we are a vine in the branch, we cannot help but to bear good fruit. If we don't want them to know, we've got to ask, where am I at right now in my Christian faith? And brothers and sisters, that's a tough question we have to ask ourselves at certain points in our life. Where am I right now? Where is this process of sanctification occurring in my life? And we ask God to show us. And when he shows us, we say, God, help me to produce the work, the love that you prepared for me to do. Because this is what it says, for you have been born again. Through baptism, there we go back to justification, right? Not a perishable seed, but an imperishable. You get the idea, right? Perishable dies, it rots, it goes away. But you are imperishable. You will live forever through the living and enduring word of God. There you go again. What's the sacrament, by the way? In baptism, it's water tied with the word of God. Brings adults to faith, then they're baptized. You see the power of the transformation? All people are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers, the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord endures forever. Brothers and sisters in Jesus, the word of the Lord is in your heart and in your life, because when you are baptized, Jesus, who is the living, risen word, who lives and reigns to eternity, who came out of the tomb, has been placed inside of your heart, and he lives there and he dwells there. And because he lives there and he dwells there as the eternal word, you will live forever. Your hearts need to burn right now. Because around us, in this world of chaos, in the world where there's threats of war, in the world that is coming to an end, people need to know about Jesus. As you see in Acts, the church grew, right? In Peter, the church grew. In the gospel lesson, the church grew. Today, what needs to happen? The church must grow. The kingdom of God must grow. And it happens as we live in and declare the wonderful power of the resurrection and its transformation in our hearts and in our lives. Because we are forgiven. Because we will live forever. Because Jesus, the Word, dwells within us for eternity. May your hearts and minds be blessed through Christ Jesus, our risen and living Savior. Amen. Christ is risen.